talking about the quality of entrance to the CVA, that is what we call the public trust here. You know, they rely on us to produce the quality accountants that they can rely on. The fourth bullet point is about offering more flexibility. Later on, as I explained to you, the new system, you can see that we're trying to open up the entrance a little bit more, make it a bit more accessible, not necessarily meaning that we're going to dilute the quality. And that's always difficult because, you know, how do you maintain the rigor, but at the same time, how do you make it more accessible? I would even say this is kind of like a trade-off. There's a lot of balance, check and balances you need to do that. The final point is we are echoing what we see nowadays. Accountants, they are involved in a lot of different areas, career, you know. They are not doing necessarily a traditional role, just, you know, like accounting or taxation. They're doing a lot more other areas. So we also want to train accountants to have that sort of profiling, you know, that they, you know, could support them when one day they become a CPA and move further on the career development. So I hope that gives you good enough reasons why we're making those changes, or at least why we're moving in that direction. All right, so let's move on to look at the overall QP. And I thought this diagram, using a diagram, could explain a bit easier so that it becomes more obvious for you to look at the changes. You may recall the current QP is what we call two levels, 4+1. And the new structure, obviously, you can see that is an additional layer, what we call the associate level. So there are three, what we call progressive level. People have to complete the associate before they can move on to professional. And by the same token, they have to complete professional before they can move on to capstone. So it's progressive in that sense. The associate level, we have 10 modules in there. The professional module, we have 4, which is the same 4 modules we have now. And the capstone, we have the final examination. So the new structure is what we call the 10+4+1. The current structure is 4+1 only. So you know, you can instantly see the differences you have added an associate level. The other thing I also want to highlight is if you look at the entry point and also the exit point, now we have an entry point, what we call at the entry to the associate level. And to make it easy, and I think it's very important that different people are talking about different sort of qualification. So we need to have a benchmark so that people can understand what we're talking about. So we use the Hong Kong government QF Secretariat, you know, they have the QF qualification framework. So we use that qualification framework, which is the Hong Kong government, and you probably realize that they have 7 levels, 1 to 7. And we use the level 4 as the entry point. So people who want to do the QP in future, they need to have attained qualification, which is equivalent to QF level 4. And that would mean is an HD holder in a high diploma, or AD holder, associate holder. So if they hold that, then they can enter into the associate level. And then we will look at what they have learned. If they have learned something which is already covered, you know, in our modules, then they can get exemptions. In other words, we do not require them to do what they have already learned. But it's through what we call an exemption policy that we assure that they have covered those subjects. If they cover those subjects, then they can get those exemptions. So the maximum number of exemptions really depends on 2 points. One is the level of qualification they have, all right? So in other words, whether they are on the right qualification level. The other one is whether or not they have met the learning outcome of our modules. I thought it would be useful for me to give you an example. If somebody have graduated from Chinese University doing accountancy, just for example, okay? Chinese University is a degree holder. So degree holder is already QF level 5, right? That's level 5, not level 4. And because they have done accountancy, and it's a program which is already accredited by the institute, so that student will be eligible to get the full block of exemption of the 10 subjects. If they get the 10 subjects exempted, then effectively they will enter into professional level and do the 4+1. So what I'm trying to tell you is there's no difference, because for somebody who have already done an accounting degree, currently they have to do 4+1. in future, they get after getting the exemption, they will also do 4+1. However, the story will be a bit different for somebody else. Like if they do a business-related subject, i.e. they're not doing accountancy, but they are degree holder. So the level of qualification is level 5, but they have lacked some subjects. For example, they have not done auditing, they have not done law or taxation. Then you can look at the specific subject that they have not done, what we call the deficient subjects. Then they've got two choices. Either they have to do a conversion program to bridge the gap, or they can do the missing modules to fill up the gap. So that gives a bit more flexibility, because we are able to look at the subjects by subject that they have done to make sure that they have acquired the required subjects. Not necessarily they have to do the whole chunk, but actually they can do just the missing subjects. Finally, I also want to make a point is for someone who have done the associate degree, which is only QL level 4, by definition, even they have done accounting, they can only be exempted from module 1 to 5. They will never be able to get 6 to 10, because 6 to 10 is pitched at level 5, not level 4. So going back to my point, I know I'm repeating myself, but I think it's a very important point, that is, you've got to be at the right qualification level. You also have to meet the right subject before you can get the exemption. Okay, so much about this. Let me talk a little bit about the workshop. Currently we have only workshop at the professional level, because we have 8 full-day workshops and the 4 technical modules. Each module has 2 full-day workshops, so that's how you get 8, 4 plus, 4 multiplied by 2. In future, what we're going to do is we're going to have an intro workshop before you get on to the to do the technical modules, which is only one day. The idea of the intro workshop is to put everybody on the same page, making sure that they have the basic, generic skills. And then there will be one technical module per subject, because there are 4 modules, so there will be 4 professional modules workshops. Okay, so there will be 4 workshops here, so it's 1+4. And then the remaining 3 will be done at the capstone level. In other words, right now we don't have workshop at the final examination, but in future, the capstone will have 3 full-day workshops. The idea of doing that is because the consultant believe that certain high-level soft skills, which is much better to be developed or trained at the later stage rather than early stage. For example, professional skepticism, I think it's something very difficult to train, or something called ethical training. These kind of things, we believe a student need to have some experience before they can put the things in context and understand exactly what you're talking about. So that's why we decided that there are certain things we're going to do it later rather than do it earlier. Alright, so let's move on. The key features is a flexible model. As I explained to you, the flexibility is about we have the 10 associate modules, and therefore the student can just pick those they lack, not necessarily do the all. So that's the flexibility. And also there's an exit point. Let's go back to this. If somebody wants to leave after doing the associate level, they can leave. That's an exit point. They're not compelled to do the professional and capstone. It's up to the student's aspiration whether they want to do the whole lot or they want to leave at the associate level entry. So that's the flexibility. Variety entry point, variety exit point, I guess this is what we call a multiple pathway, that kind of concept. It should not be a new concept to you, most of you, because this is exactly what the Hong Kong government is now doing. There's a lot of different pathway, students can do different things to achieve a certain sort of level. And we also want to have a common benchmark, common assessment. By having our own learning outcomes, the set of outcome for the associate level, we are using the same benchmark to measure up students with different qualification background, including the overseas as well. We'll use the same benchmark. Right, competence blueprint. This is something we spend a lot of time this round to do, because it is important that we take a holistic view on how we're going to train our future accountants. Because I guess people usually ask the question is, you're talking about an education program, you're talking about future accountants, so what exactly you want to train them? What do you want them to be? So that's the first question. How do you want the future accountant to be able to do that? And our terminology is, there are certain technical things we want them to do. There are also certain soft skills, we call that enabling skills, we also want them to do. In academics, university, they have different terminology. They call knowledge, skills, and values. But we talk about the same thing, just sort of different terminology. So I use the bracket just to make it a bit easier for people who are not familiar with our terminology. You know, when you look at the word knowledge, skills, and values, it makes more sense to you. The other question is, having decided the competence that you want them to have, then I guess the question is, when do you want to develop them? Because you've got a journey, a 3-year journey. You're not going to develop everything in the first year, for obvious reasons. You need to split it. And that's the second question is, we need to sort of map it out to decide when you're going to do what. So it's a very comprehensive document, which is already in the appendix on this concept paper. I'm not going to go through this, but I'm sure that when you have time, you can look at it. You see that it's a very comprehensive document. We explain very clearly to people, the module by module, what they're being trained for and the things that we want them to learn. And we also indicate the level of proficiency and also the context for development. One thing which is very worth to mention is this is the time we specifically align that with IES. I'm not saying that we don't align with IES in the past, but it's not that obvious. It's only obvious internally because we know. But it's important that stakeholders outside know exactly how we line up with the IES. This is what we've done now. You can see that it's IES 2, IES 3, IES 4. It's all lined up. We also have a table called the level of proficiency. This is the terminology used by the IFAB. We don't invent it, we just adopt it. But we further sort of expand it so that we make it more user-friendly. When you talk about level 1, foundation, what kind of skills you talk about? We talk about comprehension, knowledge, so that what we call the foundation level. When you move on to intermediate, we talk about application and analysis. And obviously for the advanced level, it would be the high level skill. We talk about the evaluation and integration. And again, we use this sort of taxonomy or the terminology vigorously and also consistently throughout the learning outcome to make sure that we are consistent. Right, so let's move on to talk a little bit about the entry requirements and module exemption. That's the concept. As I explained before, students want to do the QP in future, they will have to have achieved at least what we call a minimum requirement, a high diploma or associate degree. They can do higher, of course, but the minimum is high diploma and associate degree. I think it's important because some people misunderstood that and they thought DSE, when they finish the DSE, can they do QP? The answer is no, they cannot. Why? Because DSE is level 4, QF level, QF level 3. So that's why they cannot meet what we call the QF level 4 level requirement. People who have achieved something more and higher than that, we recognize this, and we recognize this by giving them exemption. So that's the logic, okay? Do we still continue to do program accreditation? Yes, we do. I think it's very important. Throughout the years since we have our QP, we have established a very strong rapport with the universities. They understand our requirements. And I think this is important that we continue that rapport. So the program accreditation will continue. The only difference is we are going to combine the program accreditation for degree and program accreditation for sub-degree. Currently, the two different systems, because one is run by Hong Kong ICPA, the other is run by Hong Kong IAT. In future, Hong Kong IAT will become dormant, and therefore Hong Kong ICPA will take over, and then we'll have a sort of one policy, something like that, to cater for different levels. The benefit of doing a program accreditation is not just getting the status, being accredited by the Hong Kong ICPA, but more importantly, is the students coming up for that, they are sure they will get more exemption. They don't have to worry about this because it's already accredited. So they will get the broad exemption. We also aware that no matter how hard we try, there will be some universities or some programs simply don't have any interest to get our accreditation, which is the choice. For that, we will have to do what we call the individual assessment. We will still do the assessment, but there will be assessment fee, and we have to do that subject by subject. Overseas students obviously will have to do an individual assessment because overseas universities don't usually have any interest to do program accreditation by the institute. Mature student route. Mature student route is something the board had thought about, and we think that there are some people who, for some reason, they have many years of experience, work experience, and we call them relevant work experience, but somehow they have not done a university degree, nor they have done any associate degree or sub-degree. The idea is we want to give them an avenue and a chance to do CPA if they want to, but they will not get any exemption. In other words, they have to start from really the bottom, the 10 plus 4 plus 1. But it's just sort of like an opportunity for this sort of mature student. There are good criteria, obviously, but nevertheless, it's a pathway. Module exemption is only the associate level have exemptable modules. A professional and captain don't, which is the same as now. In the 4 plus 1, we never give exemption, so we do the same thing. Criteria, the person who want to get module exemption, obviously the person will need to be a QB registered student, because they do exemption because they want to do our exams and then move on. So they have, first of all, they have to fulfill our registration requirement to be a QB student. And then we look at the qualification to ensure that the qualification is something that recognized by the institute. And also we look at the academic qualification, and we want to make sure that there's some relevant recency. We call it recency because it's not something they have attained many years ago. So we want them to have that qualification within 5 years if they want to get the module exemption. The idea is you are gaining exemption, meaning you don't think you need to do that exam anymore because I have already got that knowledge, and you want to make sure that the knowledge is still fresh and relevant. Right, moving on to professional accounting education program. Another presentation, the 10 plus 4 plus 1. I don't intend to go too much detail, but you can see the three levels. All these modules, these subjects, right, they are defined by learning outcomes. And the learning outcomes all spell out to the IES 2, the IES 3, and the IES 4. How do I do that? You can go back to the consultation paper. The appendix make it very clear how we map out those learning outcomes. We put more emphasis on ethical training. I'm not saying that we don't do ethical training now, but we want to emphasize more, make it more prominent.